Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
Madam Speaker. Madam Vice President.
You want to hang out with us? Get your vaccine. Vaccine.
And so I went to Human Resources.
There are some things I just can't tell you on air.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
A woman's problem, if you will.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamarez.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Today is Tuesday, November 9th, which as of yesterday and this Tuesday, the midterms are approximately 1 year away.
Oh, Lord. When will it end?
I know.
It never ends.
I know, which means like I kind of forget how this cycle sort of like looks like. I feel like, you know, around spring is when we'll start hearing a lot about fun primary candidates, potentially get very excited about some of them. They'll probably maybe lose.
Yeah. Wow.
Then get re-excited about our old faves. But I mean, this Congress has made some choices to not make choices. So I think we'll see some very exciting primary challenges early next year.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm hoping. So. Yeah. I'm really hoping
primary,
so.
All of them.
Primary them all.
Yeah.
Primary them all.
If you guys could be a Senate representing any state except for New York, you can't choose the state you live in. Which would it be? Are you going for Florida, Millie?
I mean, I would love to represent. I would love to be the AOC of Miami,
Or
South Florida, but I would probably get murdered.
Do you think you'd get elected, or would you have to run as a Democrat or a Republican, rather?
No, I feel Broward County's pretty.
Oh yeah,
Broward Dade. A lot of Dade is pretty left. I mean, not left, but. Certainly Democratic, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I could get excited. Like, I feel like there's pockets of really cool people that want to do big, bold things.
Mm-hmm.
And
definitely.
I feel like that hasn't been activated on a local politics level in South Florida.
I feel like there is, I mean, we talked about this wasn't the planned conversation for today, but I was just thinking, I feel like we're looking down like a huge generational shift in Florida politics. Like the sort of generations of like Cubans who are like, I don't have any reason to think the same as my
very uncles. Old grandparents who have a very specific experience.
Yeah, this is on my mind because I watched a good episode of Padma Lakshmi's Taste the Nation. It's a really good free ad. It's a really good, she does a really good job. It's like, basically it's like a no reservations thing, but she has a lot more like empathy and intelligence and like how she
I love
approaches
no reservations.
Everything.
Yeah, Anthony Bourdain is very smart.
He is. It's basically similar. I just want to like differentiate it. She's just a little bit more.
Well, she's brown, so she's not going to be like. Even Bourdain has shared stories about moments where he was like, I did come in, even though he's way more than most. He has shared stories like, I did come in with like a colonizer mindset of I'm going to come in and fix it, all this stuff where like. Maybe Padma doesn't have those attitudes naturally, but she's still like gorgeous. And there's like, I do believe there's hot privilege. And she's probably a super rich Indian people.
But yeah,
she's
so,
like, so much nicer to you when you're hot.
One of the best episodes of Bourdain is the one, I don't know if this is what you're talking about, but where he goes to Haiti and he thinks like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna, like Haiti had just gone through, I think maybe it was the earthquake that they were there. Yeah. And they had like extra food.
Isn't
on
that sad?
Set.
Isn't that devastating? It's like, which disaster was it?
So it, Haiti went it was like, it was the earthquake and they were there. And basically they talk about how they had extra food. So they were like, okay, we're going to buy food for all these people and like give away food. But they didn't really realize like what it means to just create like a free food situation where people are actually starving and actually don't have food access. And so like, people started fighting. It got really bad. The scene was not good. Like, they were not prepared for kind of what went down. And he has this really good moment in the episode where he's like, I came in. he doesn't use the word white savior, but that's what he talks about. He's like, I came in here like a white savior thinking like, oh, I'm going to give all these people food. And it's like way more complicated than that. And I actually caused harm. And it's like,
yeah.
Well, and Padma ain't doing that.
Not yet. Not yet. Yeah, she definitely is like meeting people where they at. It's a great show. So today, what are we going to talk about? Our elected representatives, some of our faves, have given us plenty to talk about recently. But I do want to start with the infrastructure bill because I don't want to just let that, you know, fly by. We've been talking about it for months and months, but now it's finally passed. It felt inevitable, but this was a huge legislative success. I mean, it's very rare to get the government to agree to spend this kind of money to fix things. I mean, during the Trump administration, it was infrastructure week like three times a year, and they never got a bill together. So I'm not going to read through everything that's in the bill because we've already done that on the show, and this is not a calm sleep story, though I do recommend those. It's not that exciting to just read a bunch of numbers, even though it's an exciting concept, but I did want to make sure we mention it because it is a huge deal. You should be telling your friends and family that it's a huge deal when they say, why isn't Biden doing anything? It's much more legislating than Trump did his entire presidency. And it actually does, like, I was reading some tweets from Kathy Hochul last night. It's like, it's billions of dollars to fix the trains and subways. So This is what we've been asking for. In the interest of positive messaging, I asked you both to look through this and pick your favorite part of the infrastructure bill. What did we come up with?
I really like the parts that are like investing more in pedestrian and cycling. I think that that's so important. In Japan.
You're an urbanist.
I'm an urbanist. Yes. I'm a city girl. I didn't realize it. But I'm a city girl, like full through. I belong to the streets, whatever. I'm kidding. No, but it's true. Like, and something that I enjoyed about Japan, you know, I took a bike every day to school when I was studying abroad there. And like one day I had to take a taxi home because it was snowing and I did not know how to get there because the bike path was a completely different route. Like it's just so, it's a separate road just for bikes and it's, because there, and then there's no like casualties or like very little because they have infrastructure built just for bikes and walking. Mm-hmm. So it's like you go, we need that here.
Yeah.
Like,
which is seriously good for the planet anyway. I mean, especially in the pandemic in this city, and I'm sure cities across this country, like the number of cyclists in New York has just exploded and not all of them are super skillful. You have a mix of e-bikes and city bikes and people like me and Elise going very slowly on our own bikes.
And it's also dangerous.
And it's just not safe.
I mean, like, it's just a dangerous situation because they're in the streets with the drivers. Some have bike lanes, some don't. A lot of cyclists are killed by like trucks that are parked illegally. Like, it's just really, it's tough out there to bike everywhere, even in New York, which has bike infrastructure at least. A lot of places don't have anything at all.
I mean, there are so many people I'm sure would be totally down to bike to work and to bike to do their errands instead of jumping a gas-powered car. But like, you're not going to risk your life to reduce your carbon footprint a little bit. So I think those are really, really important incentives.
Yeah.
Yes.
Elise, did you have a fave nugget?
Did I have a fave part? So, okay. Because I'm a little bit... of like in my darkest moments, I'm like a girl who's starting a bunker, like apocalypse training. I am very happy that the bill includes $47 million for climate resilience measures, because that's the thing that I'm always thinking about, which is like, and that's something I thought about this bill, which is like, okay, yeah, we're going to fix our roads and bridges to where they should have been like 10 years ago. We need to think about the fact that like we're about to have hurricanes that are really, really strong and like all of this like extreme weather. So it heartened me to see that this bill actually takes into account like fortifying our country against the impending dooms.
Yeah, we don't have to like do GoFundMes to like raise new bridges after.
Yeah, I mean, it's
natural disaster.
It's not enough. But I'm glad that we're talking about it. It makes me happy that we at least have people in power who are like, we need to think about the future that is coming and not just like where we were before, which is getting people to even admit what is actually happening currently.
Right. Yeah. And these are, I mean, I think it says a lot. Obviously, what's in here is just what we could get enough Republicans to agree on. But like the thing about Republicans is that they live on this planet, too. And like. You know, they have to go back some of the time, like they have to go back to their district and they can't really explain the politics of like why they didn't vote for money to fix actual roads that keep people. And there's also some money. So there's a lot of money in here. If you look at old pictures, especially in Detroit, I did not know this until this bill came up and these negotiations happened. But highways were basically built right through Black neighborhoods.
Of course.
Thriving Black neighborhoods. Not that it's acceptable in any sense, but you can sort of trace a lot of like communities that are marginalized now that never had to be, but they were just completely disconnected from commerce sections or completely destroyed and not properly compensated. So there's some money in here to basically reconnect them. I'm not sure if it's moving people, create, just fix those divides, repair some of the damage, because that's had really lasting damage. And key, no more lead pipes. It's about time.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
What the fuck is this country doing?
Here, 2022, we're going to finally get rid of these here lead pipes. Mm. So exciting stuff we needed for a very long time, but stuff that still was really difficult and strategic to get put together.
And yeah, just to like kind of loop everything together. I mean, climate, Republicans, rich people, like they're not going to see the effects of climate as much as like poor people are. Mm-hmm. And like definitely brown and Black people. Like our next thing is like, there's a lot of activism talking about like environmental thing. Activism is racist, like racism activism, you know, anti-racist stuff, because a lot of these policies and like these lead pipes and all that stuff, we're like, that's so crazy. But it's like, yeah, those are the people that are still affected by it. And even climate change stuff, like rich people can always afford to flee, always you know, they're the ones producing more of the energy, all that stuff. And like, it's always poor people who have like the blackouts and stuff. So this infrastructure bill is like small or whatever, it's not enough, but it is just like even acknowledging and like fighting against all these things and like one mm-hmm. step forward, which
right.
is and tough.
These are the types of things that it just shows that like Democrats know how to govern. Like in a couple years when somebody's having a smooth experience or benefits from something because of this during a natural disaster, I don't expect them to be like, thank you, Biden. But yeah. Democrats know that's like not why you do it. But I guess we'll have to remind you. This is sort of not really. But did you guys see yesterday the German ad asking people to donate to Americans?
No. Oh my God.
Feeding America. Amazing. Feeding America has released an ad, a German language ad, asking Germans to donate to help feed poor Americans because our poverty is so bad. Because 20% of our kids are in poverty, or our people, versus 6% of Germans.
That's true.
I mean, so yikes. I just bring that up in the context of the Build Back Better. I think there's more work to be done.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, it doesn't really matter if the potholes are fixed if, like, you can't really afford, you know, groceries at the store you're heading to.
Yeah, it's all, I mean, Biden is on the road right now. He's going around touting the bill. Yep. I think that he definitely should. I think that it's important that if a community gets something that was funded by this bill, that they message on that. Like, I remember back in the day when Obama passed the stimulus, it was like, you would see stuff that said, like, this highway was paid for by the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Oh, okay,
I forgot about that.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
There's, I think that's important stuff to do, but at the same time, nothing is going to be as good as, like, paid leave or a time tax. Like,
no,
it's not the one-to-one.
Or just giving people money.
Yeah, like the one-to-one is just not the same. I mean, but they should get as much goodwill out of it as they can.
And it just shows that like Republicans never would have pursued a bill this hard that didn't give them any political benefit. Like this Democrats
did,
and we're going to try to be part of that night. There is a political. Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. A couple in the.
They were.
I mean,
were
some Republicans and they didn't sign
do
on
it,
for this.
And they were in power. They didn't do it, and they didn't have an opposition party that refuses 100% to ever do anything, no matter what it is, for any reason. So really, they had an easier path to trying to get something workable, and they just 1,000%. Didn't do it because they don't have an interest in making this country.
Yeah, they don't do shit. They don't have an interest. They don't have an opposition party. They don't have people within their own party.
Yeah, they don't have the progressives. Yeah.
But they don't have people. Yeah, they don't even, but they don't have a Joe Manchin in their party that's stopping them from doing mm-hmm. shit.
Or they don't.
They do, but they convince him to do shit.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life. And of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
So next day we are going to talk about some Republican senators, Josh Hawley and Kyrsten Sinema. No. We'll start with Josh Hawley.
Boom, roasted.
We're going to start today with Josh Hawley's apparent angling at a 2024 presidential campaign on a male grievance platform. So throughout the past couple of weeks, Josh Hawley has been connecting left-wing politics and liberal feminism, or just whatever he feels like, to the male urge to watch porn and play video games. People of all genders have this urge, I'll add. Hawley delivered a speech on the future of the American man, quote, at the National Conservatism Conference in Orlando. Last week. You couldn't pay me to attend.
I said in the newsletter, Seventh Circle of Hell. Like, the National Conservatism Conference in Orlando. I can't even imagine.
What music are they playing? That's what I think about these conferences.
Blurred Lines.
What are you playing? Yeah, but Blurred Lines is too black for them. Robin Thicke is too black for the conservatism.
It's too urban for the conservatism conference. Yeah, they can't play Taylor Swift.
No. They can't Three Doors Down.
They can't play Ariana.
Three Doors Down. They played the inauguration, Trump's first inauguration.
Yeah, I know, but I'm like, Three Doors Down and Kid Rock, like, come on.
Kid Rock, for sure. So Josh Hawley has called for a return to traditional gender roles because he thinks liberals are trying to reconstruct America with things like critical race theory, economic socialism, and gender fluidity. Like those things are...
Yes. Yes.
The noted boogeyman, noted triumvirate, critical race theory, economic socialism. And not... What other types of socialism are there?
I guess social socialism, which is like, that. Which is I like, what is it? Polyamory? Polyamory, socialism. I'm against social socialism then.
Your entire personality belongs to the government. Mm-hmm. So let's listen to Josh Hawley expound on this a little bit on Axios on HBO this weekend.
What's a man to you? Paint a picture.
What's a man? Well, a man is a father, a man is a husband, a man is somebody who takes responsibility. As conservatives, we've got to call men back to responsibility. We've got to say that spending your time not working, and we have more and more men who are not working, spending your time on video games, spending your time watching porn online while doing nothing is not good for you, your family, or this country.
So a viewer's watching this, and they're thinking, really? What the liberals are doing are going to push me to watch Pornhub more or play Donkey Kong more? Do you mean that literally?
Well, what I mean literally is that I think the liberal attack, the left-wing attack on manhood says to men, you're part of the problem. It says that your masculinity is inherently problematic. It's inherently oppressive.
Okay. I have two things. Number one, the way that man said Donkey Kong really made me laugh.
No one made that man use a personal reference.
Donkey Kong?
He just volunteered Pornhub. Damn Donkey Kong.
Pornhub, and anybody told him Pornhub. This is all his shit.
We know now that he uses Pornhub and plays Donkey Kong. But anyway.
Donkey Kong. Not Donkey Kong.
I also, and I don't know if this is reverse sexism. You can let me know in the comments. I think that Josh Hawley.
There's no such thing.
I think that Josh Hawley is doing an Elizabeth Holmes. I think his voice is fake. I think it's fake. Ooh. I think it's not that deep. He sounds, if you listen to the speech, the Orlando.
Why is this reverse sexism?
I don't know, because I'm commenting on his fake ass deep voice. But I think he's
like, instead of vocal fry.
Yeah, that I'm saying.
No.
But he's, I think that's my but conspiracy theory, is that I think it's fake. I think he's deepening his voice on purpose, like Elizabeth Holmes, to seem powerful.
He's definitely deepening his voice on purpose. You can see him. We got to watch that clip, and you can see him sort of steel himself to speak to make sure he gets it.
I believe that men should be toxic.
Right. He just also has the current landscape so wrong. Like, if you look at any job report, it's like women are having problems getting jobs again because we're taking care of the families. There are many problems. The problems he's pointing out are not them. And to the extent that watching video games and porn is a problem, that is not because of feminism. That is because of late stage capitalism, which he has done nothing to alleviate.
Yeah, it's also like more men are working, less men are working than possible. Do we just have a pandemic?
Yeah.
Are we still in a pandemic? Isn't unemployment just high? And also, like, who lost most of the jobs? Like, you were
saying,
Amanda.
They're not working because they're dead.
Yeah, they're dead, but also, like, I would say more women are not working than, like, ever before. I think more women were working in the 70s or some shit than working now because so many people lost their fucking job. There is no article in the New York Times about how a man had to fucking close his company because his wife didn't want to stay home with their 3-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. But what article came out last year, Amanda?
The fucking article. Insane. What did he was like a stay-at-home dad for 3 days and was
and
like,
he was
no,
like
man.
No. And it's just like, it's just not an issue. And then also, domestic labor within the home is a huge issue still. Like, men, it's...
If there's a man who is a stay-at-home dad while his partner, maybe it's a wife, is out working, and when the kid is asleep, that man plays some video games and watches some porn, that does not bother me. That is fine.
Hell no. That is not the issue.
Yeah. That would be great.
Well, again, like you said, Amanda, women also play video games and watch pornography also. As long as you're not addicted to video games or pornography, I think it's fine for those to be parts of anybody's life.
Well, and also there are things to say about video game culture porn, that are toxic. There are things to say about porn and their unrealistic expectations of sex. And a lot of it, it's abusive and it's unethical. But that's not what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, dog, do you want no one to watch porn at all? Like, first of all, that's not possible. And you're going to lose whatever you're running for if you run on anti-porn. Are you kidding me? And second, like, it's just... It's all these things. I think I like remember one time I watched like a lecture in college or something that was like everyone, you know, men focus on like how to make their dicks bigger instead of trying to be less of one. Mm-hmm. And that like stayed with me of just like, what does it mean to be a man and manhood and all this stuff? And like, I would argue that. Another thing, too, is just, like, he's like, oh, masculinity is inherently terrible. And it's like, well, if it's not, then why aren't you, like, cool with trans people? Mm-hmm. Like, with women trans, you know, female assigned at birth people who are transitioning to men. Like, you give them a hard time if masculinity is not inherent. I don't know.
Right. But also, like, says that part, like, he's like, oh, this is what the liberals want you to think, that your masculinity is inherently toxic. Correct, sir. Like... he put it perfectly. It's not men that are inherently toxic. It's masculinity. To whatever extent the three of us might display masculinity in our own lives, it's probably not our strongest. Like, everybody has masculinity of every gender, and it can be toxic. It's not just men. But what is he doing here? I mean, also, like, this is the man who I would much rather men take out their violent urges in video games, which are fake, than bring guns to the Capitol. Like, is that what he would rather do?
Well, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, he probably does think that that's, like, very manly or whatever. Which, the other thing that's, like, so creepy about this in general, and Millie, it's, like, going back to what you were saying, like, yeah, there are things to be said about pornography and video game culture and sexuality today in certain places. But that's not what he's talking about. He's coming at it from, like, a no-nut November type place where it's like
We should not be spilling our precious seed on pornography, yeah. and we should be impregnating our wives and bringing home meat.
Right.
And like, it's just like, right. no, no.
Yeah, it's like he's not showing up to like support the, you know, porn performers union for better working yeah, conditions no. on set.
And I shudder to think about his searches. And what's going on there?
AOC. It's not AOC performers.
I mean, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
You know, it's not cool to say, like, oh, all these Republicans are closeted gay men. Like, that's not cool. But he has some shit that's, there's some funky shit going on in that Pornhub queue. Mm-hmm. What I was going to say, too, he's like, a man is a father. A man. I just kind of feel like it goes back to the point of, like, a lot of these issues are late stage capitalism. And it's like people don't want to have kids or get married because it's fucking harder. You know what I mean? When you're married, when you have children, like a lot of men are also deciding they don't want kids.
Yeah.
I've in my dating life have encountered a lot of men who don't want kids. Like it's not just like men all want kids and women don't and that we're stopping. It's just like there are a lot of factors out there that contribute, and that doesn't make anyone less of a man or less important or anything like that. And if you're not actually addressing the issues, then it sounds fucking stupid. And there is a problem with gun violence with, you know, like it's just all these things that aren't really, but people are going to, I'm just scared that people are going to eat it up like they did Youngkin in Virginia.
I think so too, because he's doubling down when he started to see a reaction. So I definitely want to be a little careful, like how we cover it moving forward. Like, because there are some very angry men that are susceptible to this message. He's not even on the right message yet. He's not even saying the right, like, men's rights things, but I think he'll get there.
Yeah, he's signaling it to them that he's like, I'm going to do a white male grievance thing and I'll do whatever, like, dance needs to be done for the media to like not exactly say that while signaling to all of these angry white men who he's literally fist bumping in front of the Capitol, like, I'm your guy. That's 100% what he's doing, because again, going back to Millie's point, if he really wants men to be fathering children, then he can vote for the child tax credit that is in the spending bill that's before him right now. But he can vote for aid mm-hmm. to families. He can vote for universal pre-K for these families so that he can, for these traditional quote unquote families that he's so worried are falling apart. Also, a man is a father, but Pete Buttigieg is an asshole for taking parental leave to father his child because
his children, his
twin infants that were born premature.
You gotta work so hard to have kids as a man in a gay couple. Like, it's not a matter of just not jerking off to porn and putting it in your lady. These men went so out of their way
to create
children. And like, pay a lot of money. Like you said, I mean, there are a lot of things people say about Lindsey Graham. But beyond rumors about Lindsey Graham, there are so many just like weird, childless, single old men that are elected Republicans who I would not be inclined to point out those parts of their biography. They're not relevant. But Josh Hawley is saying that like a man's only like a good American man if he's a father and a husband and never watches porn or plays video games.
Well, and also it's just interesting to me because the white male vote is getting less and less important as time goes on. And like, the critical race theory thing is the thing that's sticking out to me, because like, I do think like, as time goes on, we are going to see a bigger multicultural coalition in the right. So I'm like, if he dropped the critical race theory thing, he could get a lot of like Latino men. Like, men are more conservative than women. That's just a fact. So I can see a lot of these things hitting different communities.
Him leaning into the just masculinity, there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah, that but then we have the critical race theory, which is like, yeah, that's how they win in suburban white America. But, you know, there's not that many, like, honestly, like, think about how much gentrification there is in New York and big cities. all those people have moved into those suburbs, all the people that can't afford to live in the city. So it's like, I'm really interested to see how this plays out for the Republicans. They have continued to double down on the race stuff. I thought that they were going to let it go and like just focus on like anti-socialism, anti-communism, gender shit, trans shit, and then really like try to grow their multiracial coalition. But it seems that they're really leaning and doubling down into it. So I'm just interested to see how this plays out.
Well, I think what we're coming up against is that Republicans could build a multiracial coalition, but they are too racist to do it. So they can't. If they did what you were saying, they could actually maybe like win the Latino vote and other things.
Yeah.
That are like they
what's
could,
interesting
they
is
could
that lead,
they could build what Democrats should also be building, but they are genuinely too racist to do it. So
right, and Democrats, we don't even try for white males. We never win them. We don't try. So it's not
they
like
do though. There's like the blue collar that we have tried, but not anymore.
Yeah, right. I feel like it's like okay, like the next cycle. I mean, you have to get swing voters, but I don't think like white males are really. We just can't lose any.
I don't think we want to lose any. And every time we hear kitchen table issues, I'm like, that's for white people.
Yeah, because, of course, yeah.
Yeah, but like, so we're not trying to, but I feel like there is something to be said about like, which I think is true. White women, you know, are more likely to swing. Mm-hmm,
definitely.
Both ways.
Yeah, and maybe he thinks that some white women might be...
Oh,
somewhat,
yeah.
Like, convinced by his argument that men need to be better.
Oh, listen, there is not this toxic masculinity argument is very easily like, my little boy is being taught in school that he's bad just because he, just because he kicks girls. Like, just because he kicks all the other little girls down. He's being taught that his masculinity is toxic. It's so hard to
They're
be a boy.
They're going to sell like boy mom. It's boy mom 2024.
Jesus Christ.
My son was kicked out of school just
Stop
because he sells
ideas.
Revenge pornography. It's like, oh my God.
He just distributed pictures of his 16-year-old girlfriend's titties to the whole school. And now
Everyone's
people hate
so
him for being a man.
Little
okay,
Brock.
We're going to write this. This is a TikTok. We have to write this down and post it as a TikTok.
Well, also, I'm also like... You can easily chop and screw like Josh Hawley's thing and put at the beginning of a rap song of like, all he does is play video games and
totally.
Watch porn and not work. And it's just like, fuck you. I'm just thinking like the backtrack of like, this man's lazy.
Exactly.
You can't believe him. It's like, could be in a remix of like No Scrubs.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
no.
Without all the like toxic masculinity shit. It's like, Bill, honestly.
Yeah. It's like all of our years of like turning feminism into a casual misandry just completely backfires on us because Josh Hawley takes advantage of it. If in the event, I mean, since we're just blaming anything these days on liberal feminism or the woke mob, what are some uncomfortable feelings or tendencies you two would like to arbitrarily attribute to liberals?
Sometimes I feel like I'm too woke to enjoy vacations.
Mm-hmm. Say it.
I'm like, yeah. Sometimes I'm too woke to enjoy a lot of things. And I'm like, fuck me. Like, I wish
you
I could
just
You
know how you don't notice until you're around other people? And then they're just like, why? That thought has never occurred to me. Like, that, what? I think you can say that word, Amanda. And I'm like, no, you really can't. Maybe you can say it, but you can't type it on the internet.
No, you cannot.
That was a deep one.
Yeah, no, life would be so much better if you are smooth-brained. And thank you, liberalism, for waking me up to that.
What about you,
Lise? I think that the traffic has been bad in Brooklyn lately. And it's been, sometimes I've been waiting a lot longer than normal to get an Uber. And I think if we didn't have all these independent women with their tasks and they got to be running around with their credit cards that aren't in their husband's name, zooming around the city, then I would be able
zooming
to,
around.
Then I, a married woman, a properly married woman, would be able to get to and from my various appointments, but instead we've got all all these little
excuse me, married woman coming through.
Are you married? I don't know.
Do you have a husband?
We've got all these little chickens clucking about doing their business. And I don't like it. And I blame liberal feminism. Yeah.
I haven't been able to find cashew butter at my Trader Joe's in like weeks.
Liberal feminism.
And I do think it is because of Toni Morrison's Beloved. I think is why. I think that this is a pact in the supply
chain. Cashew butter is like $9.
Here's the thing. Not at Trader Joe's. This is why I bring this up. At Trader Joe's, it's $7.99. But if you go to like a traditional grocery store, it's crazy. You're right.
It's like $11.
Yeah. So my Trader Joe's does not have it. It's definitely because of critical race theory. Well, Josh Hawley.
And, you know, to bring it all around, my single, no husband ass goes to Trader Joe's and takes an Uber from there because she can't carry, she doesn't have a man to carry groceries for her.
See, there we go. The disintegration of the American
having
family.
Having to support. You got to support unicorns, male-run unicorns, just to get your groceries. How do you open your jars, Millie?
Oh, well, I have one of those silicone gloves that are oven mitts, and those open it because you just need a grip. Mm. You don't need a man, you need a grip.
I know. That should just be like the Democratic response to Josh Hawley 2024. It's like, no, I don't need a man. You just need a, there are just some things you can buy on
Amazon. Also, when I moved in alone, there was something I couldn't open, and I put it on Instagram, and then a lot of people wrote to me and gave me strategies, and the oven mitt worked. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. We blame the woke mob for all of these things. That is our time today. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Dooley.
I'm Liz Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamarez.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.